It's Friday, and this is a great Friday episode. We have Bill O'Reilly, who was in rare form talking about the debate from this week. We went through the debate stuff as well and all of the audio. And then we brought in Nick DiPaolo, who is hysterical. Politically incorrect. I think the guy is on a suicide mission, honestly. He has a new comedy special out on YouTube for probably the next 10 minutes called A Breath of Fresh Air. You see it before it is taken down, but he is really funny. Just a great, great special.
Speaking of seeing it before it gets taken down, your painting featuring Adolf Hitler and Planned Parenthood, which is not at all controversial.
No, not at all.
Is up, available to be bid on. All the proceeds going to pro-life charities. You can go to glenbeck.com to do that. And the Mercury One Museum, depending on when you're listening to this, is starting up on Saturday the 28th,
yeah,
all the way to July 7th.
Yep.
So and, get your tickets and come.
Yeah, if you're anywhere in this area, you really need to see this. It's a great Independence Day.
Right near Dallas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's right near Dallas. So come on down and see us. Get your tickets at mercuryone.org. And if you haven't made your plans for 4th of July yet, come spend it with me. We'll be here next week as well until the 7th at 12 score. And 3 years ago, a new Mercury Museum pop-up here at our Mercury Studios in Dallas, Texas. You can find your tickets at mercuryone.org. Okay, get set for laughs. Here comes today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Here she is last night from the debate stage. Listen to this.
I'm going to harness love for political purposes. Mm-hmm. I will meet you on that field, and sir, love will win.
Whoa! Creepy.
You're going to harness love
for political purposes,
and I'll meet you on that field, sir. Oh my gosh.
And love will win.
You, her against Donald Trump. I thought Hillary Clinton was the worst candidate ever. I think choosing Marianne Williamson to harness love and meet Donald Trump on the field of love.
So good. At least she's interesting, though. Or Hillary was, she, because I think Marianne Williamson's a better candidate than Hillary. Because at least, I mean, Marianne Williamson led the entire field in Google search results last night.
I bet she did.
I was like, who the hell is this lady? I mean, it was a lot of that. But at least you're interested.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
she is interesting. She is great. She's great comic relief. You know what I mean? Like when you have a field of all Marx Brothers, you need Zeppo, who really isn't. Okay. Here you have all of these socialists, and then you've got this one sticking out going, I'm going to harness love. It makes for an interesting show.
Have you ever heard someone so consistently in a debate come out against plans? She just kept saying, you don't win elections based on plans. You guys just go into Washington and all you do is you have your plans. Well, what are you going to improv the thing? What are you doing?
I'd like to know what your plan
yes,
is. Now, maybe she's going off of the playbook of hope and change, mm-hmm. where we kept asking, but how?
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Right.
And we never got that. So maybe she's thinking, hey, it worked for Barack Obama.
Yeah, and as we now know, the plan, of course,
yes.
what for Obama was Obamacare, which
yeah.
we all now know is apparently the worst thing that has ever happened to the country.
But you know what would be better?
They never say it like
wait,
that.
Wait. You know what would be better?
What?
Is if we had everybody into like a VA kind of situation.
Oh, yes, because that's exactly what they're advocating for.
I'm telling you, the soldiers love the VA.
Oh, they sure do.
Yeah, there's so many people standing in line for Medicare that the soldiers that are in the hospitals, killing themselves just to open up a bed so somebody else can get into it because they're like, this is too good.
But let's not only implement that, but let's trust the people who just brought us the system they said would cure these things that is failing so badly that all of them are running against it, and including the guy who was on the ticket with Obama.
I know. You know what? One of my favorite parts of this whole thing is that they're talking about, in fact, I think it was Kamala Harris who we have to get to, that said, now, wait a minute. You know, you guys are saying that it's Medicare for all. Look, I think we got to slow down. I think we have to do this. Basically, what she was saying, we have to do this in steps, in phases.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there. So they're all
saying it.
All of them now are saying what we told you they were actually saying back when they were debating this in 2009. Mm-hmm. This is what they're doing. They're now actually all admitting, yep, we're going for national health care like they have in Canada, like they have in Great Britain.
Yeah. And Gillibrand said last night, as you know, she is one of the, I guess, supposedly moderates on this issue, and that she's not going to eliminate private insurance. But she said in her speech that this is a step. We have to take steps to get to there, to single payer, to get rid of private insurance. We have to take steps. And this is a step to that. Well, this is what we were accusing you of for a decade, and we all got fact-checked into fake news oblivion on social networks because of it. Mm-hmm. And now you're all sitting up there admitting it. Think of poor Joe Wilson, this congressman who is back. If you remember this, he's at the State of the Union. Barack Obama's doing this.
Night.
Yeah, and he says, you lie. That was about illegal immigrants receiving health care through Obamacare.
And they acted also indignant. Oh, my gosh. Like, we would ever do that. How un-American. We would never do that. I don't know.
All of them.
They're all saying you have at full access to American health care if you come across the border.
Yeah. All of them.
Illegally.
Illegally.
You come across the border. You stumble onto our land. I need a heart transplant. Boom.
Yeah.
You have a full right to that medical care for free here in America. Now, let me ask you this, Stu.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, if you come across the border, you get free everything, and we can't stop you, and I'm going to decriminalize crossing the border. So it's not a crime
to cross the border. As well.
Right. Not a crime to cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can stay here if you're already here. No deportation. New or old, no deportations.
Mm-hmm.
Can't turn them around at the border. What does it sound like to you?
I mean, it sounds like open borders.
Sounds like open borders. How would you define open borders?
Well, it wouldn't be a criminal act to cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you were caught in the country, you would not be deported because
you'd be basically a citizen.
I mean, not quite a citizen, but you would be legally allowed to stay here.
You get to all of the benefits.
Well, you wouldn't be able to vote and things like that.
Oh,
not yet.
No.
Not yet. But if you say that now, they'd say, oh, fact check, false. You've been demonetized. And then 2 years later, they'll all be on stage going, yeah, they should all vote right now. Of course, that's on the way as well.
Right. So they're all now saying, they finished the debate and they were asked, so you're for open borders. Oh, my God. No.
Oh, how dare you?
What does how do you define an open border? I'm not for an open. What part of the definition of open border am I missing?
Right. If you run a convenience store and someone accuses you of giving all of your stuff away for free and you say, no, I just let everyone come in. And if they take something, I don't punish them. And if I see them do it, I won't make them leave the store. They can continue to take the stuff.
And if they hurt themselves, I will make sure that they get to the hospital and my store will pay for their medical care. They say I'm closed. They break a window. They cut themselves badly. It's their right for me to pay for that medical care. What are you talking about? Yeah. What else is there?
I mean, because I can understand why the Democratic Party does not want to come out and just say we are for open borders, right? Like, that is not something that's going to connect in a general election. They're going to lose badly if they just admit that. But other than just the political sort of like branding, like, you know, it's like someone who releases a very unhealthy cheeseburger saying it's light, right? Like, yeah. Well, we all know it's not light, but maybe it makes me feel a little bit better about it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, really, what is the difference? People are coming up to the border. You're saying if they come for asylum, we have to take them in, right? So anyone can cross the border that says the word asylum. Mm-hmm. It's not a crime for them to swim across the river and get in here.
Even
if they're not claiming asylum. If they are caught when they are here, no matter if it's been 5 minutes or, you know, 5 decades, they get to stay. They will never be deported.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why would they get caught, or who would catch them?
Because
all for the dismantling of ICE.
So, like, what on earth is the policy? The policy is just open borders. They've described every single element of it. I guess the only thing maybe you could say that's different than open borders is probably the border guards show up to let people through the gates. Like, I guess they show up at the gate and they let the little bar goes up for each car. And then because if they come up and ask for a border guard for asylum, we are told that they have to be let in and taken care of. And when they're here, it's not criminal and they can't be deported unless they commit another separate crime.
We don't even have open borders for Americans in America. For instance, I'm from Texas. I carry a gun. I go to New Jersey. I have to obey the laws of New Jersey. Well, that's not the laws in Texas. We don't even have open borders. They will prosecute me for breaking the law in New Jersey where it isn't a law in another state. Mm-hmm. I have to live by that state's law, and I'm an American citizen.
With a constitutionally guaranteed right.
Right.
And you can be thrown in prison for these things. I don't know. They really are falling over each other to get further left. And that is like...
If the Democrats don't wake up to this, if the Democrats... And this is why the approach that we took during Obama was not right. Because it's the same approach that the left has taken now on Trump. Everything he says is bad. Everything he says, everything he does is bad. He is a criminal. He's going to destroy us, blah, blah, blah. Well, I happen to believe these guys will destroy us because it's Marxism. But we have to find a way to talk to not the people in Washington, talk to the neighbors that we have and gently talk to them and say, look, I understand, Democratic Party. You voted for Democrats forever. This is not even the Democratic Party of Barack Obama. This is not. And don't buy into this border stuff. Those cages were built by Barack Obama.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast.
There's a humanitarian crisis on the border. Some of your critics have said you have to speak out more directly to the people of Central America and say, don't come. If you come, you will be deported.
Well, we've done that. The problem is that under current law, once those kids come across the border, there's a system in which we're supposed to process them, take care of them until we can send them back.
So is your message, don't come?
Oh, our message absolutely is don't send your children unaccompanied on trains or through a bunch of smugglers. That is our direct message to the families in Central America. Do not send your children to the borders. If they do make it, they'll get sent back. More importantly, they may not make it.
Okay, so now listen to what he was saying here. He was very careful. So are you saying that don't come? And he was very clear. Absolutely. Our message is don't send your children unaccompanied. Okay? Don't send, because if they do make it, they're going to be sent back. Deported. Now, we told you there was a crisis. Stu, can you find for next week the audio of me with Obama in office pleading? They're putting people in cages. They're putting these kids. They're separating the kids. I spoke about this ad nauseum under Barack Obama. I cannot take the left talking about how he has built these cages and these prisons for these children. No, Barack Obama did it.
Oh,
and you know who's and you know whose policy started it? Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Flores. One of the most audacious moments last night was Joe Biden in the middle of this debate talking about no, it was actually the end of the debate. He's talking in his final statement about how evil the Trump administration is and such. And he says, you've seen these videos where their lawyers are out there talking about, you know, not giving soap and toothpaste to illegal immigrants. The video he's talking about is featuring a case that began in the Obama administration, the one he was vice president for, and also the woman who's on camera is a woman that was an Obama era hire. She worked for the Obama administration. She's defending an Obama administration lawsuit against the Obama administration back in 2014 or 15. And this guy has the audacity to come out and cite that as an example of
because
how bad the Trump administration
because
is.
Because he knows the media will not mm-hmm. correct
and it. And I have not seen it anywhere.
It's not corrected. Well, you know what?
Put
that on the list for next week, too. Put that on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It's Independence Week next week. And so let's be independent from some of these lies that all of them are telling. I can't take it. If you can't admit the truth, you are going to lose the ability to find the truth, to recognize the truth. We have half of our nation now living in some delusional world. And they are, there's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. This isn't 1930. You have access to the facts.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast. Mr. Bill O'Reilly.
Woo! Here I am,
yeah.
Ready to go.
Are you ever excited about anything?
I'm excited about going on vacation next week. I'm going to Europe, going to see some people over there and get away from the madness that is the United States of America right now.
I want to talk to you about debate. I can't wait to hear your analysis of what happened the last two nights.
I'm curious about the patriotism of Bill O'Reilly, who runs away from the country back to Europe.
Back to white Europe.
White Nazi Europe.
I think you're going to Berlin, aren't you?
4th of July.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I'm not a color kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm hospitable to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running away. I just need a little alpine air. After all of this hot air.
Oh, yeah. Send us some pictures of you and your lederhosen.
There's a lot of stuff going on. This is an important discussion we're going to have.
All right, good. So let's start with the debate. Come on. I want to hear your opinions. What happened in the last 2 days?
You've got two things going on. You've got the people at home watching, and then you have the corrupt media that's telling you what's happening, but they're not really telling you the truth. So just keep that in mind. There are two tracks. So you've got the 20 Democrats. Four or five of them are now in play. The other 15 are eliminated. The ones that are still in play are Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Pete,
mm-hmm.
Senator Harris,
mm-hmm.
and Senator Warren. Bernie Sanders is in the pack, but he's cooked.
I think so, too.
He's through.
He does not look like a serious consideration.
No, he isn't a serious player now.
Yeah.
He'll stay. He's got nothing else to do. Remember, Bernie
and
Sanders
his people are loyal.
Been in the Senate for decades.
Yeah.
And passed one bill,
mm-hmm.
a renaming of the post office in his state. That's it. Never did anything in the Senate. So he's done. So you get those four. Mm-hmm. Get those four people. But Biden is still the guy who the money Democrats are going to go for, even though the media does not like him. But last night, Kamala Harris put herself in the number two spot.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be Biden-Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're going to have to make friends, but they will. It'll be a little drama. But that's, I think, going to be the ticket.
Biden-Harris.
Yes.
I think there's a chance that Harris, if she continues to perform as well as she did last night, and Biden was okay in the first half hour, but when she came directly after him, he looked like a deer in the headlights, and he was positioned as your time has passed.
Well, I disagree with the deer in the headlights, because deer can jump and Joe can't. I mean, he's not getting over the fence.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, so maybe a turtle in the headlights.
Right.
Joe is just discombobulated. He had to know Harris was going to do that.
It wasn't ready.
Been around the country for the last 3 weeks doing
that. Hang on just a second. Stu.
Yeah.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I say to you, and I was that little girl on that bus. Shame on you.
Look,
I
was in the Senate for a long time. I can go through all the things that I led. But, you know, what I opposed was not busing. What I opposed was that specific policy and the way it was implemented. And you know who else opposed it? Were the voters of my state who were black. Black voters in Delaware opposed that busing bill. So you can go back and do revisionist history all you want. And that's what, of course, Harris was trying to do there.
Right.
And she did it effectively.
Because
he was not prepared for it.
How was he not prepared for that, Bill?
No, but you guys are missing the big point. Harris wasn't trying to revise history. Harris doesn't know history. Right?
Yes.
She's nothing to revise. She doesn't know it. What she's trying to do is what all the left-wing politicians do, identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to shame Biden mm-hmm. because Kamala Harris, as we all know, is very virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Virtuous. Mm-hmm. They're going to run on the virtuous ticket. Okay, it's like, we Democrats are very humane. We don't want to see anybody suffer. One of my favorite Harris lines last night was, We have to figure out how to put food on your table.
We don't want a food fight.
You know
fight.
What, lady? No. I'll put food on my own table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you coming, unless you're delivering a pizza or something to me. I don't want you putting food on my table. But this is the theme, that these virtuous Mother Teresa-type politicians, all right, or St. Francis of Assisi if you're a male, all right, these virtuous politicians are going to make everything all right.
Mm.
Everything that you need, you, the American citizen, everything. All right? You need your driveway shoveled in a winter? Hey, don't worry about it. We're going to come and get it. And even if you're homeless, we'll shovel any driveway you want. Just point to one.
Okay. So, you're talking about Mother Teresa, and a lot of people might think that you're being hyperbolic about this, but may I just play Marianne Williamson's Harnessing of Love clip? Listen to this.
Yes.
I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and sir, love will win.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what? I thought Tony Tenniel was running. Love will keep us together. Remember that?
I do. And
I
about three
the
others.
Captain and Tenniel were up there.
Right.
Mayor Pete was the captain. Right. And Williamson was.
I have to tell you, that was bizarre. It was like an alien landed.
No, that wasn't bizarre. No, it wasn't. Next, they're going to have a fortune teller. Okay? Yeah, a little gypsy woman.
Oh, my gosh. Why does a fortune teller have to be a gypsy? Oh, my gosh.
Because gypsies are very talented in that area.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
I mean.
But let's get back to the serious theme. If Americans buy this, all right, then we are a country in crisis. So that's what I mean when I say in the, my beginning remarks, there's two prongs here. The media prong, which desperately wants either Harris or the senator from Massachusetts, Warren. That's who the media wants, one or the other of those ladies. Mm-hmm. The folks, the Democrats, they're not real sure about this kind of radicalism. So they probably go back to the old reliable Joe Biden if he can stay awake long enough to be inaugurated.
Yeah, he really looked old last night.
Towards the end, especially.
Yeah, I don't think
I liked his spray tan. Trump spray tan is orange. Yeah. At least Biden's looked.
Yeah. I'm watching Biden last night, and you know, I've never thought of him. I mean, you know, when you think about him, you know he's old and everything else. But I've never felt like he was like in arena. But in that field last night, he looked ancient, and so did Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, but it was late. Oof. It was late. The debate started at 9.
Yeah, I know, but.
Okay, it was
late. I think late for those two, maybe 4. Well,
if you want to be fair, they should have an early bird debate.
Yes.
Beginning at 4.
Yeah, there could be okay. The kiddies table and the early bird table.
The early bird debate should be Bernie and Biden.
Right, and first they could talk about their.
The buffet, and they get what they need, and they come back and chat.
And then they can, you know, maybe save 15 minutes just for their gastric problems. You know, oh, my stomach. Oh, I've got gas like you wouldn't believe. And they could just do that for 15 minutes at the early bird table.
You think Bernie Sanders has ever had a moment of happiness in his life? The guy is miserable all the time,
miserable.
No matter what is happening.
Yeah.
I don't know how the crotchety thing seems to work for his supporters, but I just did not get it.
He is the get-off.
You guys have never seen Bernie. When Ben and Jerry give him a free pint, he's ecstatic.
Oh, okay.
He is the happiest guy.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Bill, may I ask you this question? What is the definition? You're a wordsmith. What is the definition of open borders?
Very good question, Beck. Very, very good. So this is what I mean when I say that even liberal Democrats watching these debates have got to say, is it really wise public policy to allow every human being in the world into the United States and then pick up all their health care and all their education and give them food on the table? Is that really wise public policy in a nation that has a $22 trillion debt? Okay? Now, anyone would say, you know, I don't think that's really realistic. It may be virtuous. It may be, you know, that you're going to go to heaven, but it's going to bankrupt the nation. All right? It'll cause civil strife that we have never seen before. All right? And it'll collapse our economy. All of that would happen if you allowed every single human being the option of coming to the United States and having we, the American working person, pick up their tab. That's essentially what the Democrats, all of them, were saying. All of them. So I say, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe when I'm strolling around the Alps next week, I'll go, geez, we're in trouble. But I don't think most Americans are going to go for that. So all Trump has to do is keep pointing that out and say, is this what you want? All right, because it's insane. I overuse that word insane. I know I do. But this truly is madness.
It's madness.
Where you have no enforcement on the border, and as soon as they get here, you're picking up every tab they have. It's impossible, number one, but that's what they want.
I know.
They, the Democratic Party. And they've succeeded in turning the southern border of the United States into a chaotic mess where people are drowning in the Rio Grande River.
So if you're Donald Trump and you were watching the last 2 days, what would you say, or you're an advisor to Donald Trump, what would you say to the president, you need to prepare for this?
Well, I don't think the president is fully cognizant of how difficult his reelection is going to be, number one. I don't think he has come to grips with the fact that he's going to have to run a really strong campaign to win, even if the Democrats put a far left person opposite him. But assuming it's Biden and Kamala Harris, assuming that's a ticket up against Trump and Pence, Trump's going to have to really run a very strong campaign, because the Democrats are going to play up that he's a Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, he's just Satan. Okay?
But something subtle like that.
Yeah, something like that. And Trump's going to have to start to act more presidential, in the sense that, look, I am the president. I've used my authority to help you, the American person. Here's what I've done. And look at what they want to do. See, Biden and Harris are never going to be able to get away from the open border stuff, the reparations for slavery stuff, the unfettered abortion stuff. How can any American of faith vote for the Democratic ticket? How? I don't understand how any Christian could do it based upon what they want to do with the unborn. And then they have the economy, where the Democrats keep saying, well, the economy's no good. And then every stat in the world says, yeah, well, the economy is good. But they're never, the Democrats are never going to say the economy is good, ever. They'll always find somebody who's not doing well. And so the Trump's got to steer away from the swamp there, because he'll never get out of it if he starts to engage them on a micro level. And just have a few overarch themes. I'm a successful president. I'm bringing prosperity to you, the American citizen. And these people want to destroy the country. Because, as I said, the country would be destroyed with open borders. And I don't see that any Democrats saying, I'm going to moderate the border, I don't want to. They all agree that everybody should be able to come in here.
Yeah, but they're saying today, all of them said, you should. It shouldn't be criminal. You shouldn't be deported. You shouldn't be arrested.
If it's not criminal, then everything goes away. Then
correct.
You have no right to detain anybody.
Correct. So they're saying today, no, how dare you say I'm for open borders? I'm missing something in the definition of open borders, because I think you've hit all of those things.
Yeah, well, look, the Democrats are going to say the economy's bad. Is that the truth?
Yes.
No.
No, it's true that they're going to say that. It's not
right,
the truth.
Right, but that's not the truth.
Yes.
The economy's strong in America right now.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats are going to say we're not for open borders. Is that the truth? No, it's not. So what Trump's got to do is just ignore that and just put out his platform. And his platform is, here's what I've done for you, and here's what the Democrats are going to do, which is going to lead to the destruction of America as we know it. Look, Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody seen what's happened to San Francisco and Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody noticed?
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's performance-based. That's a performance-based thing. Was one question directed to her? Well, what about your performance as Attorney General? You've got the two major cities in California in absolute chaos right now. Are you responsible for that, Ms. Harris? Are your policies of permissiveness responsible for 100,000 people running wild in the streets, shooting up heroin in front of children? Do you bear any responsibility for that, madam? Where was that question? Did you hear that?
No. Rachel Maddow's
not
going to give that question.
Because, I thought Rachel Maddow was okay. The others, the only two that were all right were Maddow, who didn't even say anything, and Lester Holt, who's an honest guy. The rest of them, I mean, why are they there? You could get anybody could sit there and ask those kinds of questions. Is anybody here want to confiscate guns? Raise your hand. I got an 8-year-old who can do that. All right? What you're supposed to do in a debate is get a person's position that doesn't quite stack and ask them about it. That's what a debate is. Not, who likes cherry vanilla ice cream? Raise your hand.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Normally, I would not have somebody who is this much of a tightrope walker on my show in this particular atmosphere, because this could be the last hour of my career. However, I know him. He's funny. I've respected him for a very long time. He's a fan of the show. And so I don't think he has an agenda to end my career. And even though I think you're suicidal, Nick DiPaolo is with us. He's a comedian. He has a new comedy special out called A Breath of Fresh Air. And it will, it is a breath of fresh air because you're saying things that nobody in their right mind says anymore. Although you will be gasping for air a few times, because it's laugh out belly laugh comedy, but also because there are times you're like, Nick, what are you doing? You can't even what are you saying?
Well, that's what you do when Hollywood turned your back on you 20 years ago. You know what I mean? What do I got to lose at this point?
Yeah.
But this is how I always did it. After my second open mic, Glenn, somebody came up to me, and this is 1988, and said, "You're politically incorrect. You're the few. That's where it's going." And I remember saying to the guy, "I think it's going to get a lot worse." But I had no idea we're going to get to this point. You know, a guy can say he's a girl and a girl. I mean,
this
who saw that coming?
Nobody. Nobody saw that.
So, and I like how you said about the rope burning. Colin Quinn said, "I'm the only guy that burns bridges while I'm standing on them."
Yeah, that's exactly
which sums
right.
it up perfectly.
That's exactly
you
right.
Know?
You are you're somebody. You won an Emmy for writing.
Nominated twice, working for Chris Rock.
Yeah.
So I'm not a racist, folks.
Although,
friends with Chris.
Although the comedy that you're doing right now,
right.
And you could say the same thing about Chris Rock when he was going after people. You could have said the same thing.
That's the point.
But the comedy that you're writing now and you're performing is dangerous because it is exactly what everybody says. If you're a misogynist, you're a racist, you're a sexist, whatever it is.
Right.
All the ists. You embody all of them in this special.
That'll be the next special. Ist. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Picture me and Ist. we're in weird times. I don't know how to do it. I don't watch, and maybe this is bad, but I don't watch other comics. I don't watch specials.
Yeah.
Because I keep hearing, nobody's doing what you're doing.
Yeah, nobody is.
So I have to say, what are they doing out there?
I'm just
speaking from the gut. And then every once in a while, I'll catch a glimpse of a stand. You know, I'll go to the Comedy Cellar where I developed this. That's the other thing. I developed this act, you know, on the campus of NYU. Mm-hmm. You know, the Comedy Cellar is on the campus of NYU.
Right.
So I
and
upset a lot of people.
And how do you, are you still performing there from
I
time
don't.
To time?
I moved to, this is when I knew I was, I moved to Georgia a couple months ago.
You moved to
really?
Georgia.
I was living 4 miles from Hillary Clinton's house.
Oh my God!
And everybody up there—that is as blue as it gets. Westchester County, New York. And I'd be in a dentist waiting room, and I'd hear people bad-mouthing Trump and stuff. And then I started getting paranoid. You know, if somebody at the grocery store was taking too long to help me, I go, they must have saw my special. They hate me. or my dentist doesn't call me back. I go, this guy's a lib. I was getting nuts. My wife's like, calm down, will you? And I said, let's get out of here.
Right.
And it was actually affecting me, you know.
Oh,
or,
I know.
Or the cable guy wouldn't get back to us or whatever. I swear to God, they hate my politics. They know who I am up there a little bit. I was in New York for years.
Right.
So
right.
I picked up and, you know, moved to
a
nice purple state, Georgia.
Yeah. That's why
you
you're in Texas right
Texas?
Now.
Texas?
Yeah, I know. That's why you're in Texas right now. Because, part of it was Glenn walking down the street and people throwing things at him every 5 minutes. And then you come to Texas and at least they're not throwing things
well,
at you.
Well, they're throwing things at me because, you know, for real reasons.
You're really famous. I couldn't deal with what you know, I mean, I'm still under the radar. I wear it as a badge of courage that Facebook has taken down my ads now.
You should.
And I wear it as a badge of courage that they finally, I would be getting insulted. I'd be saying, hey, why is Steven Crowder getting in trouble?
You know, I did think that watching your comedy special. I did think, Steven Crowder?
How's he
That's nothing compared to this.
Yeah, or whoever, Owen Benjamin, McGinnis. I'm like, what, I've been spewing this stuff for 30 years. Am I that bad a marketer? I can't even. I took it as insult. They're like, this guy's not even worth the time. He's so stuck in 1968 or whatever. And but people, and you know what, Glenn? Here's the thing. When I do racial, it's racial. It's not racist. It's racial stuff. I and this is the truth. I've been doing this 30 years. I've had maybe 4 black people get upset with me, as opposed to the 750,000 young white kids.
Yes.
Who, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Black
yes.
people come up and go, we love your honesty. Me and Patrice O'Neill went on that show, Tough Crowd. Mm-hmm. We sort of opened, we got away with murder on that mm-hmm. show. And mm-hmm. people would come up to me, black people in the streets, and go, I love what you and Patrice do. And because it's just honesty, you know?
Yeah.
And you gotta
and
be funny.
And it's comedy.
And it's, I was gonna say, you gotta be entertaining.
Yeah.
You don't wanna get preachy.
Yeah.
I don't want to turn into Janine Garofalo and just fall off the, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who I like. Actually, people don't believe I love. I'm a friend of Janine's, but you got to be entertaining.
Do you still have friends? Because comedy, the comedians have become worthless. They're really worthless.
That's what
spineless
I heard.
And worthless. They really are. It's
you going to tell me Gallagher is worthless? This guy, he's doing edgy stuff. He was breaking watermelons.
They're all like that now, if they're not preachers.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
everything
going for
is
laughs, right? I mean, they're going for applause. They're going for those lines that they can, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I call it clapter. Yeah. They're just going
Perfect.
For clapter.
Clapter.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, it's like watching a debate. Every time they just spill out these platitudes. Everybody should have new shoes.
Yay.
I just do what I do. And, but like we're bringing up Louis, like, you know, he can't even go back to the Comedy Cellar. On nights that he pops in, there's women, female comics, who say, I don't want to work there if he's there Wednesday night. So they don't know what they're doing for a living, number one. That's the definition of a hack.
Mm-hmm.
You're a comic. I love that what I do for a living is at ground zero of this First Amendment thing mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. It's not musicians, it's comics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love that.
I really think that you are the closest thing that we have to a Lenny Bruce today, because we are now the underground. We're the counterculture.
Yes, we are.
And Lenny Bruce was intentionally pushing every button he could
right.
to show people, wake up! What the hell is happening?
Right.
Wake up!
Right.
And I watch your special, and if you are intelligent, you know that's exactly what you're doing. Because I see you, and you say stuff that's really, really funny and really over the line, and you know it's... You wrote it for that. You know what I mean?
Well, I write on stage, so I don't sit down with a notebook anymore. What you do when you first start out. Then you go, this is work. I'll think of something mm-hmm. off my head, and I'll record it and listen to it. You know what I mean? And that's how... Seriously, that's the best way to write, in my opinion. So it comes from my gut on stage, as opposed to when you sit down and you're actually intentionally trying to be provocative.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it comes from the gut.
Right.
But yeah, this is some
but
stuff
are,
that
but,
I watched. I was like, eh.
But yeah, right. You are turning it up for comedic sense, but...
And to get some attention.
Yeah.
Seriously, as a 57-year-old white guy in the comedy world, you got to scream louder than everybody. I'm so sick of hearing... I laugh when I hear female comedians, gay comedians, black comedians talking about how politically correct and how comedy's ruined. Political correctness was created to shut up guys like me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no black comic who got in trouble for making fun of white people or mm-hmm. gay comic making fun of straight people. They don't get in trouble for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was created. It came about to shut guys like me up. And I'm not going to shut up. I need the money. I got a dog with cataracts. My wife has a coke problem. I mean, I got to work.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I warn you, this isn't anything that you have. If you remember people like Richard Pryor, you've seen this. You just haven't seen this in 20 years. Somebody who has just the balls to say what everybody says, don't say that, whatever you do, don't say that. He says it. He says it.
You talk about me, a Trump. Who I love. He was the best thing to happen in my career. He's my favorite president of all time, and I'm not kidding. All right.
Nick DiPaolo is with us. You have done three comedy specials on Comedy Central, a Showtime special. Your newest and most controversial, perhaps, is A Breath of Fresh Air. Have you been demonetized yet by YouTube?
No, I'm taking that as an insult, too. But take my money, please.
Right.
No,
it's amazing.
Facebook is pulling down my ads. They'll leave it up for like a day or whatever. But no, not to the point like they went after Crowder or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's... I was talking about that. I have a show, too, a streaming live show, Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern to noontime. And... I was talking about that last week. Everybody's talking about the 2020 election, worried about outside interference with Russia and China, which is not the problem. It's Google.
It's Google and Facebook.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, they work with China to censor people.
Right.
So,
right.
And look what they tried to do to Trump, whether you believe it or not. You know, I believe in that deep state silent coup. Look what they tried. What are they going to do this time?
Yeah.
If they were capable of doing that, you don't think...
I don't know.
We have evidence, don't we?
What was the doctor's name at Harvard?
Epstein.
Epstein. Mm-hmm. You should talk to this guy.
I did. He's my ear doctor.
He's done a study. Now, he's a Clinton supporter. He did a study in the 2016 election on Google and Facebook and wanted to see if they were, you know, rigging the election. And he said they were. They were. I just talked to him the other day. He said it is far worse. He said we have got to get a handle on Google and Facebook because they will flip this election. They've already said it.
They're James O'Keefe went on the Project Veritas. You get that woman. She's involved in the algorithms.
Right.
And she's out there just saying
they're saying it. We're not going to let
it.
We're not going to let a Trump mistake happen again.
And then you put on CNN or whatever, NBC, and they're talking about China, Russia. We got to be, you know,
right.
We spent a couple hundred grand on Facebook ads. Ooh,
right.
It's Google. They control all the information.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big worry.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I know. And how do we
violence? Violence. I'm almost half kidding. That's where we are, Glenn. Here's my analogy. It's like, I don't know if you're a hockey fan. Bobby Orr had like 23 knee operations.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are now. This is my analogy.
Mm.
He has no more cartilage. It's bone on bone.
Mm.
There's no more middle.
Right.
We're either going to balkanize or go to war. And all I know is I'm on the side with all the guns.
Yeah. Right.
But don't you think we're getting close?
Yeah, I do. I do. Unfortunately, I don't. I wonder if it is to the point to where it's almost inevitable, because I think people, you know, CNN is doing this special this weekend on the rapid rise of the Klan and white supremacists. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
There's 11 of them left.
Right. I know.
They work at a Sunoco station in Arizona. You can round them up in a minute.
And I have to assume they're all still Democrats if they're in the Klan.
If they're in the Klan.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's absolutely crazy what they're doing. And they're looking for what is causing this. Of course, Donald Trump is causing this. Or is it possible that a group of people that get on television and radio and in the universities who are talking about toxic white people might be furthering regular normal people to go, wait a minute.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they are pushing people into radical positions, because when you're backed into a corner and all of the power is saying you're toxic, you're bad, there's nothing good to you and we're going to punish you, you look for anybody that is going to stand with you. Now, I wouldn't stand with the Klan, and I don't...
Your lobby says otherwise today. I walked in there, I go, whoa, I got to follow these guys? This is going to make my special look sad.
He's referring to the museum that we have in the atrium, where there is a a Klan rally around a tree. It's you have to have it in context here.
Yes, no,
but anyway,
but this I could see a potential tweet on the way out.
But go back to something you said earlier, because I mean, it does feel like that, right? It feels like everybody's at each other's throats all the time. But as you said, you've been doing this stuff. It's offensive, and you've had what you said four black people in the entire time that you've ever been out there that have had a problem with you. Generally speaking, when you go out and you're like, I don't think it's real. I think
you're right.
You know, you talk to regular people and they're not like that.
I just moved to Savannah. Okay. And it's so much. And I'll probably I tell people it's like 1958, but not racially. It's I noticed like older black people and white people like in the '60s going to lunch together. It's so much more integrated as opposed to the Northeast. Where you can feel the hate under the fake smiles. And it's so nice down. I'm at a Kroger's supermarket and there's an older black gentleman in front of me. He pays for something for the lady in front of him, an older black one. She didn't have some. And then the cashier goes to me, you have your Kroger's card? I go, no. And he goes, he can use mine. And it was just a weird moment.
It's jarring, isn't it? It's, anytime you move south, I feel like
we were like
thing.
That when we moved to Texas. You're like, what? What's your angle? That, you know what I mean? What?
Yeah.
Is this a trap?
But God doesn't want me to be happy because on the way home, there's some young black kids crossing the street. This kid runs out and kicks my car for no reason.
Oh, jeez.
He thought I was supposed to stop him or something. He's like 16 years old. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, if I was up in New York, I would have thought that. Me and my wife just moved down there, and the doorbell rings like 3 days after the moving truck left. And it's like two 10-year-old girls, 8 o'clock at night, with cookies and brownies for me and my wife.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
And I'm going, oh, my God. Now, that might have happened in Westchester. But there would have been rat poison in the brownies because the mother was a big Hillary fan and she saw my latest work or whatever.
The name of the special is A Breath of Fresh Air. You can find it on YouTube. Nick DiPaolo.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.